is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Hello, I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and welcome back to another episode of Tennessee Talks. Today, I'm joined by my friend Josh Dobbs, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. You're with the Vikings now, right?
With the Vikings, but free agent now going into the offseason. Obviously, finished up the year with the Vikings. It was a crazy journey, that's for sure. I know I was supposed to hop on your pod before this time, but I think I got traded to the Vikings like a day before we were supposed to get together again. So, but yeah, I ended up a unique year in Minnesota, and we'll see where the future takes us.
Very cool. Now it's a little colder there. Of course, Knoxville, I live on a little farm out there in Corrington, right out east Knox County, and we got 9 inches of snow. And it was
crazy.
Close to zero. I mean, it was crazy. And I know you're born and raised in Alpharetta, Georgia. And of course you played at UT, and you originally committed to play at Arizona State, and then before changing your commitment to the University of Tennessee, and you were drafted in the fourth round of the NFL draft to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I want to thank you again, Josh, for joining us on Tennessee Talks. It's great to have you on the show, brother.
No doubt. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. Growing up in Georgia your whole life, did you ever want to be a dog? And what made you commit to Arizona?
Man, not at all. So I grew up in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is, I think, UGA territory. I think my entire neighborhood of people I went to high school with, I think they all went to Georgia. So I grew up having to look at that gaudy red, see that dog all throughout my entire childhood. So by the time I got to college and was making my decision, I definitely didn't want to go to Georgia. So it worked out well, man. Like, I visited Arizona, and we all know how beautiful it is out there. Yep. Had a chance to study aerospace engineering. They had a really good team around that time. Had a chance to play early, per se, but after going through my entire recruitment, Coach Jones took the job, invited me up for an official visit up in Knoxville. I just fell in love with the campus, the people, the engineering school, and then most importantly, like, the opportunity to play for the most prestigious football program in the country. Man, I didn't want to let that opportunity go to waste. So ended up switching to Tennessee, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and of course you majored, as you said, in aerospace engineering in college. And when you graduated, I removed myself from the running for being a torchbearer, because I thought, you know, my credentials, it'd be so, my 6 years of undergraduate studies would, you know, I just didn't want to rain on anybody else's parade. But that's a pretty big,
that's fair.
You were a torchbearer, and of course it recognized what you did in academics, but also in the community. And I, growing up in Knoxville, you know, you had some huge shoes to fill. When I was growing up, everybody wanted to be number 7, Condridge Holloway. And, you know, and he would, I remember one time they brought it, my dad was dean of student conduct, and one of the chancellor's sons played on the ball team. And we, that guy, it was just like, he was such a bigger than life character in my life.
Man.
If you were a lineman, you wanted to be number 7. That was it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I know, you know about Condridge and everybody else that played ball at UT, but I want to thank you for that, because I would see you at stuff even after you graduated. I think I saw you. I think I saw you up here in DC on a
honor air flight.
Yeah, my buddy Anis puts that on, and that from a my daddy went on like the second or third flight, so that meant a lot to me that you were still committed to our community.
Man, Knoxville has supported me like so much. It's crazy. You go to school as an 18-year-old and you graduate, 18-year-old boy, and you graduate as a 22-year-old young man, still trying to figure it out. And, you know, no matter how far I've gotten from Knoxville, whether it was while I was in school with, you know, alumni showing their love and support, or whether, you know, since being out of school, even now going to my 8th year in the NFL, I get so much love from that area, and the community supports its athletes and its BFLs and just non-athletes that go on and do great things after school so well that it's, you know, I'll be remiss not to pour back into that community that supported me for the last 12 years of my life. So I love Knoxville, man. I feel like it's my home away from home. Anytime I go back, you know, I feel like it's like I go back in time to still being like a senior there on campus, man, and seeing the familiar faces, interacting with the fans, and giving back to the community means a lot to me. So the support is definitely appreciated both ways.
Every time I go home for every time I'm home and there's a home game, I get that same feeling, man. I see people, you know, and we relive in our glory days because I'm 59 now. I'm out of breath, and I'm just glad I got, you know, I got my faculties about me occasionally. And I bring my wife and daughter, you know, I start telling stories, and I realize my wife and daughter are listening to my story, and then I have to usually change it just a little bit, you know.
It sounds about right. I think that's the funny thing. When you go back, you feel like, you know, you're still in college, because I know the strip is starting to change a lot, but for a long time, it was the same spots were still open. You know, the same people are still running them.
And so
when you go back,
that's
you feel
right.
Like you're 22 years old and you're just living life again. So
you walk into some place that you know, I did that for years. Of course, growing up in Knoxville, I can remember when you could park perpendicular on the strip when I was a little kid. You know, I mean, that's a long time ago. And the McDonald's wasn't there. There was a house there, you know, and it just, but still it is, it's the smallest big city in the country, or biggest small
100%.
City, smallest big city. Yeah. But anyway, how'd you stay so focused in college? Cause I know your major, I always remembered when the coach instituted a new thing where you brought one of your professors to the game. I mean, to a practice and you had one of your, I guess, physics teachers there, and
they were blown away.
Yeah.
So that was crazy. So they got to come and sit in the QB meetings. So I went to class all day, and so they got to see my schedule, because when you start taking the higher classes in physics, you know, you have the same teachers. Like, there's only three or four teachers that teach the different classes of aerospace engineering. So, for example, like Dr. Bond, who I think was my professor who came over, I had him for four or five different classes once I got to my sophomore year. So they see my schedule, they see the classes I'm taking because they're teaching them. And then they got to come over and sit in our QB room, and they see, all right, you just went through an entire day of compressible flow, propulsion, astronautics, and now you're speaking a whole nother language that they don't even understand on the football world, and then have to go to practice. And then they had them on the sideline for the game. So they're taking in the experience from the player's perspective. So it was really cool to see their reaction once they got to see everything that it takes to be a student athlete, you know, at the University of Tennessee, especially, you know, when you choose not the easiest major in studying aerospace engineering in college.
I could see that. Have you always liked space? Is that something that you've always been fascinated with? And what made you choose aerospace engineering? You know, when I was a kid, I can remember when we went to the moon. I was at 8220 Bennington Drive in West Hills. We had a color television, and we were watching, of course, it was black and white. And I remember going out and you could buy these little rockets from Kmart. They were plastic, and you know, it'd separate, and you'd push the button and the module would pop off, you know, 6 inches or something. And, you know, it was just growing up, when I grew up, it was just, you know, going to the moon and for the first time and everything. It was just so fascinating. What drove you towards that?
Man, so my first introduction started in aviation. So, you know, growing up in Atlanta, it's obviously a Delta hub and has been for a long time. So whenever we would fly, man, I just loved it. Like, I loved everything about it. I loved getting to the airport early, you know, watching planes take off and land, studying them. I was a nerd for sure. Like, I was looking up what type of plane, you know, we were on that day and comparing it to other types of airplanes. And so it started there. And then I started getting introduced to, you know, other opportunities being in Atlanta. So I got to hang out with the Tuskegee Airmen back, I believe, in the sixth grade. And that was amazing.
I met one of the, there's like two or three of them still around at one of the airships in Knoxville when I was mayor. And, you know, you get to go to the VIP tent, and I just look for those guys because my dad fought in the Second World War, and my mama actually flew an airplane during the war. And so that's kind of unusual. I guess she's 17 or 18 years old, but those Tuskegee Airmen, I mean, we just went through hell, and they had some of the best. The Germans feared them, and I dug that, and that was pretty cool.
Man, their story of resilience, I think it just always like put things to protect for me. So, but a part of that experience, you know, we started getting introduced to flying, and we got a tour of the Delta facility right on the side of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. And then from the space perspective, I believe when I was seven, we did a spring break down to Universal. But my parents, they always wanted to, they didn't let you just have fun when we go on trips. Like they wanted to make it educational as much as they could and then let you have some fun. So we took a detour. We stopped at Space Coast, Cape Canaveral. And that was when like it was peak shuttle days. They're launching four shuttles a year. There was astronauts all around. You got a chance to meet them, see the old rockets, see the new rockets. And so I think like just having that perspective at a young age and also being good at math and science, you know, when it came time to choose a field to study in college, you know, I wanted to do something I was good at, but also genuinely enjoyed, and something that, you know, I knew like if I didn't play sports, I still would want to go to a school and study that major. And so that's where my passion for aviation, space, aerospace engineering started. And obviously it's been a unique journey thus far, seeing the tremendous opportunities I've had in the field still while playing professional football.
You sort of come from middle-class America, just hardworking folks like I did. And I'm kind of curious, you got that first signing bonus. And I see a lot of those guys that just burn a hole in their pocket, you know? And I mean, I see friends of mine, you know, a buddy of mine, you know, he's like won $10,000 in the lottery, and I think he quit his job.
Yeah, you know, people, you know? Yeah.
And so I'm wondering.
You see it all the time.
When that first one hits your pocket, I guess you bought you a nice mutual fund or something cool like that.
Something cool like that. We put it all in saving, man. Like Wells Fargo, they definitely were happy and welcoming us with open arms. You know, I think like the only like big expense, you know, obviously like with life comes bigger expenses up until this point, like living. But you know, for the first like 3 years in the league, like my biggest expense was literally just buying furniture to put in my apartment. And your first like true big boy apartment, you can't walk in with your college bed and your college couch, you know. So I had to get brand new furniture. But outside of that, man, we've been pretty tame. Like you do, to your point, man, like I think the biggest thing that guys get hit with is the rookie dinners that everyone sees and stuff like that. But the PA, NFLPA does a really good job now of getting the guys when they're young and giving them that perspective that, you know, yeah, you got a check for this amount of money, but it's not going to last you forever. Like you still have to develop yourself off the field. You still got to work hard on the field. And then at some point, like you'll look up and you'll have the amount of money that will actually change your life and put your family in a better position, man. But you still got to work for it. You can't quit playing football over $10,000. That's for sure.
Yeah. Figured that. And I know you're like me, you're pretty frugal, and I dig that.
Yes.
I think I guess it comes from parents, because, you know, my parents survived the Depression and Second World War, and, you know, and then when they died, they had no debt. And so it was, that ought to be everybody's goal, I guess. After a big tough game, what's your go-to meal?
Man. In Knoxville or now? Because I think they've changed over the years. You know, like when I was in Knoxville, man, you could just go to Waffle House or Zaxby's on the Strip, man, and just gouge yourself. Yeah. But now, man, you gotta, like, as you get older, it's all about like still turning over your body, recovering. So I usually like to take my fam, whoever comes to the game, to a nice steakhouse, get a good meal with the fam. I love a good filet, so not turning down one ever. So that's usually my go-to meal, man. Maybe a glass of wine to chill out, because those games can be a little stressful. But outside of that, man, we keep it tame. We do keep it tame.
Yeah, I got somebody sent me some steaks at Christmas, and I told Kelly, I said, "Baby, we're not doing a dry turkey this year. We're gonna
cook some steak,
grill up some filets," and she couldn't have been happier, man, because she back. Isabel, our little girl, could handle that. I could handle it. She could go and make the sweet potatoes and the green beans. So that worked out well.
She don't want you out back trying to fry the turkey and catch your house on fire.
Yeah, man, that is a redneck call to the fire department, man. I can't tell you how many times I've watched those videos and those knuckleheads. Like, man,
they're hilarious. Once you see them survive, they're hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. I a few weeks back, you mentioned I joined you and Trey Smith, and we talked about UFOs. And I know you're not quite the believer that Trey and I are. Tell me something. Light years. I cannot, you know, I go out every night and I talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I look at the stars when I'm at home, especially can't up here because all the light pollution. But I live out in Corrington. It's out in Gibbs, right out there in East Knox County, and you can see the stars. And it's, you know, and literally the light from those stars left there before the time of Christ. And to me, that's just
crazy.
As a good old boy, it's hard for me to fathom, but I realize it's fathom, not phantom. Yeah. But you know, but it's still, it just to me, and how did you get so interested? Just, you know, the whole thing is travel and light year and things like that to me just fascinates me. And I know do you sometimes when you're, you know about it, but it's just almost hard to comprehend.
I agree with you. Like I went for a walk the other day, just thinking about like the past year and reflecting. And I looked up and we live at, my parents live out in Alpharetta and I'm visiting them right now. And so it's out away from the city, man. And you could see the stars like crystal clear. It was gorgeous. And it's crazy. It does put a lot of things into perspective that, you know, like everything that we have going on here, like there's a whole universe out there just above our heads that we're still studying and learning about. And we haven't even scratched the surface of what we know that's out there. So, you know, I think that's what, you know, piques my fascination. You know, it's when you see those astronauts, you know, go to the space station, or you see the initial astronauts in the 60s when we didn't have cell phones, you know, walking on the moon. Like you see all that and you just think, okay, like there's so much more to explore. There's so much development that we can do just using the resources that are at our grasp here on Earth that can take human beings to, you know, as far as we want to go, you know, in the galaxy. And of course, that's going to take time, right? Like, you know, the space program isn't even 100 years old and we've done so much up until this point. So really, like, the stars are the limit. And I think there's so much opportunity in that. And not only, you know, for exploration, but just seeing, you know, how, you know, developing that technology to go to space allows us to have more efficient lives here on Earth is really what, you know, piques my interest. Is like the astronauts are going up there to study stuff, to dissect things so that people can go and eventually live on other planets, but also so our lives here on Earth can be improved. So it's really cool.
Elon Musk is really kind of pushed the envelope on that, I think.
Man, he's changed the world.
Yeah, he has.
He has changed the whole trajectory of space exploration.
I have some friends that are buddies of his, and it just fascinates me, the stuff he comes up with. This isn't on my notes, but when you go out with Trey Smith, do you have to pick up the check?
Man, I don't know. Trey's about to get another Super Bowl, so it's about time that he pulls his weight. I think we're a healthy split at this point. We're a healthy split, but we're both going to spend a lot of time in the offseason together this offseason, which I'm looking forward to. So we'll see. I'll definitely be throwing the check down his way.
All right, yeah.
We got a big extension coming.
Yeah, that bonus and all that other stuff going. Hey, I know you're with Minnesota now, and of course, free agent. What's going to be your expectations for the upcoming season?
Man, I would say, you know, I'm still gathering them. You know, going into free agency is very unique because it's my third time doing it, but this is the most playing time I've had. And as we all know, like the story and the unique situation I was in, I excelled at. So I should have a lot of opportunities this upcoming free agency, which I'm excited for. You know, I want to go and be a part of a team and organization that want me to be there and, you know, believe I can contribute and believe I can play good football because I know I can do that. And so that will be the opportunities that I'm looking for this offseason. It'll be unique. It'll be different, but I'm excited for them because I think whoever gets me, man, I'm going to get a heck of a player and we're going to go out and play some good football.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool when you you hadn't even, I don't know if you'd even seen the playbook very long and you.
Not much.
to say East Tennessee saying, man, that's pretty kick ass. You know, I thought that was exceptional. I was like, I know that guy. You know, so
I like that.
But that's cool, man. I'm very happy for you. We're at the end of the program, and this is the part I hate the most. And my guess,
you already know what I'm going to ask.
Yeah, what is it?
I want to know what you think of the Miami Mall incident.
Well, I had a preacher in my office a couple of days ago. I mean, he's a nationally known preacher. Mm-hmm. Asking me about that and my thoughts on that. You know, I don't know, man. Three kids banging sticks and they thought it sounded like gunfire. And then you had, you know, I don't know. I can't get too much into the giant situation that I know the Bible talks about the Nephilim or whatever, but the fallen angels mm-hmm. I guess, bred with humans, and then they did after the flood and the Fremen. I can't remember how you explain it. I mean, how you say it, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, there's some, you know, biblical history there, but I don't know. I just think some people might have overreacted, and but it's still, yeah. But if there was that many people there, there would have been something out other than those.
I agree.
AI camera things. So, you know, I don't know. I just think that that is just some people overreacted and some people got it on the internet and it just blew up.
Yeah. Great marketing. That's for sure.
Yeah. What do you think?
I agree with you. You know, I think if, you know, there were 10-foot giants there in the world we live in, man, like everything gets put on TikTok. Like you're seeing videos from inside cruise ships as they're, you know, taking on water. Like you can see everything in this world. So, you know, the day that someone, you know, sees an alien, and right now we'll definitely have a lot of footage of it.
Yeah. It's just like Bigfoot. I always tell people, you know, there's no pictures, good pictures of Bigfoot. And I say, why is that? And I say, cause I didn't take the picture, you know, cause I mean, it's always shaky, you know, and the UFOs are blurry. It's like, I mean, you know, the only time you see something that blurry is like when somebody robs a bank. You would think they got all the dadgum money, and it's like they're using some 1970s technology or something.
They got like a flip phone they're pulling out. Yeah, like a Nokia, the old school one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's got a scratch on the lens or something. But anyway.
Exactly.
Well, Josh, I just want to thank you, and I can't stress enough what a good, you know, role model you are. And I know you're there with your folks, and I'm sorry I'm taking you away from them. My folks are both in heaven, and I miss them every day. So I'm glad you're getting to spend, and they're getting to see you succeed. I always tell people that, you know, I'm kind of glad my parents aren't seeing me now. They thought I was going to make something of my life, not go to Congress. You know,
I think you're doing pretty good.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, and I want to wish you the best of luck. You are in our prayers because you are an incredible role model, and you're just a good person. And, you know, I don't care what Trey Smith says about you behind your back. I tend to like you. So anyway, brother, thank you and good luck and everything. And go spend some time with your parents. And everybody, I want to thank y'all for joining me for another episode of Tennessee Talks. We've had an awesome show tonight. It's with my good buddy, Josh Dobbs. He's quarterback at UT. He's an incredible role model. And thank you, Josh, for everything you've done for our community and you continue to do. And go spend some well-earned time with your folks. And we love you and we pray for you. And thank you for everything you're doing.
Appreciate you, my man. Go Vols, always.
Always. And this has been another episode of Tennessee Talks. And thank you all for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.